This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This Easter Sunday message entitled Grace Part 4 was delivered on April 21st, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Maybe we're working it too much, which is a good thing. Happy Easter! Happy Resurrection Sunday! Man, this is such a, It's just a remarkable, fabulous, fantastic time that we get to celebrate. Yet, for me, I'm kind of sad because, you know, my children are all grown up and we don't get to color eggs and do all the fun stuff and hide the eggs like five or six different times because they're all grown up and they don't want to have anything to do with that. But yet, it's great because we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I mean, He's not dead. You know, he's alive. He's risen. And that alone right there, because if that didn't happen, then we'd be meeting for pretty much nothing. You know, we're still talking about grace. And God, his demonstration of grace was shown and offered to us at the cross. And there's no other act of grace that had a greater effect on all of humanity. Nothing comes close. And this morning we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection and what this means for every Christian in the world is that there is hope for us, a hope of a future in heaven, because if Jesus didn't rise from the tomb thousands of years ago, there would be no hope. See, because of the sin committed long ago in the garden, you and I were separated from God. And because God loves us so much, he provided a way to connect back to him. Thus, our need for God's grace. If you brought your Bible this morning or you have your iPhones out on your Bible app, would you open it up to the book of Romans? It's in the New Testament. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. You know, Pastor Aaron brought up a good question because we were talking about that. We were going down the coast to go Hola Hola, and we were saying, why is it called Good Friday? You know, and I was thinking, like, really? That was a good question because I was thinking of that myself. Why is it called Good Friday when Jesus was crucified? And, you know, the only thing I can think about is the end result, which is he was crucified, he died, his blood was shed for our sins, the forgiveness of our sins, and he rose again. So that, I mean, pretty much sums it all, his love for us. But before we go further, just open your books to Romans, and let's, you know, kind of take a look at our need for God's grace and the provision that he made for our fallen state and our sin nature. So if you think about it, okay, our need for God's grace and how he provided the way back. So think about it. The first point is, what was our condition before salvation? Not just you, but the entire human race. What was the condition like? What were we like in the fallen state before salvation? And in Romans 3, 10 to 12, Paul refers back to some Old Testament scripture, and he writes this, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. So before salvation, this is what it's like. Nobody was right with God. Nobody was righteous. And Paul uses his Old Testament references to show that humanity in general and in his present sinful condition was just plain and simple, totally unacceptable to God. Isaiah 64, 6. For all of us, not some, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. See, sin. And when we talk about sin, sin is sin, all right? Whether it's you go take a little candy bar from the store or from somebody, whether you tell a small white lie, whether you kill somebody, sin is sin. Sin makes us unclean so that we cannot approach God any more than like a beggar in filthy clothes, dirty, unclean, could go sit and dine at the king's table. And when we try our best efforts, we are still infected with sin. And for you and I, our only hope, therefore, is faith in Jesus Christ, who can cleanse us and bring us into God's presence. Romans 3, again, we in verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So before salvation, before Christ, before all that, this is what we were like. So we needed God's grace. Number two, and God's answer to our need was his grace. Romans 5:8, if you turn a couple chapters over, 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we was his enemies, Christ gave us this gift. How many of you give gifts to your enemies? Anybody out there, anybody. But that's what Jesus did for us. That was his grace. Ephesians 2, and we've been reading this a lot, 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we, you and I, are his workmanship. And look at that. Man, that guy was a great craftsman, because I look at you. You are just wonderful pieces of work. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So we've been learning the definition of grace over the past few weeks. And God, the grace is God's free, unmerited favor shown to guilty sinners who deserve only judgment. It is the love of God shown to the unlovely. It is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him. That's God's grace. So how do we get it? Number three, we need to accept God's gift of grace. And that's it. You know, we try to do many different things. We try to give. We try to pray. We try to behave rightly. Read more scripture. Read more Bible. Do more Bible study to earn God's grace. But it's already given to us freely. When we do what? If you turn a few more chapters over to Romans 10, when we do this, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I always looked at the scripture. You say, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, that's a description of Easter. God raised him from the dead. And I was thinking, like, for people who don't believe, ask him, you believe in Easter? You say, yeah. And then I get to share the scripture because, you know, you celebrate Easter, you do Easter stuff. And when I was a small kid, Easter was just about the eggs and the candy. That was it. That was the best part about Easter was the candy and finding the eggs and finding the golden egg, which most likely had money inside, right? And that for you, the little one, I wasn't brought up in a Christian household, so Easter was it. And then about the food, and then when I learned about the resurrection and everything kind of had a whole new meaning. See, unless we believe everyone is going to be saved, we must deal with the fact that some people are going to be lost. And if some people are going to be lost, it's important for us to ask, what separates those who will be lost from those who will be saved? In other words, what are the conditions of salvation? What must we do to accept the gift that God has made available to Jesus Christ? Think about it. What must we do? Some say faith is necessary in order for us to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And that's certainly true, because if we reject faith in Christ, then we reject the salvation that he offers. Because when we pray, he's not going to like write it out on a piece of paper, give you one certificate and say, this is your ticket to heaven. It's all framed, neatly sealed. It's for you. No, it's by faith. When we pray Romans 10:9, when we confess with our mouth, believe in our hearts, it is all by faith, right? Because when we pray, we're praying to God who, like, I don't see, you know, you can maybe feel him here. You can see him in the wonders of the beauty in nature, but it's by faith. So some say, unless you believe that I am, you know, that God is who he is, that you will die in your sins. And our faith, sometimes some people say, it cannot be kept a secret. It must be confessed, as we just said. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you know, so you openly acknowledge, and Paul wrote that. Others would say, hey, yeah, you need faith. You got to confess. Some people say, well, you got to repent. You know, scriptures say repent. Sin separates us from God. And unless we're willing to turn away from those sins, we just remain trapped in it like a prisoner. Yeah? And Peter urged his readers in Acts to repent, therefore turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Some people say that you need to be baptized. And some say that's a requirement. For us, baptism is a public declaration of the confession that you made to the Lord. So we love you to get baptized. So we do have baptism next week, Sunday, right after church. We're going to head down to Coconut Island. Whoever desires to be baptized, we're going to baptize you by immersion like the Bible does, like the Bible, like how Jesus was baptized. Yeah. So, you know, faith, repentance, baptism, you know, that's what the Bible teaches. And how do we accept God's gifts of grace? And I think it's by these things, by faith, you know, confession, repentance. God's grace has to be accepted. We have to receive it. God's not going to force his grace upon you. He's not going to twist your arm behind your back. So you better take it now. You better take it now. No. He loves you so much that he said, here it is. You know, it's there for you. All you got to do is receive it. Simple as that. We're simple and simple as that. And number four, we must be continually motivated by grace. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. We are brought into the kingdom by grace. We are sanctified by grace, and we are motivated by grace. We are called to serve by grace. We receive strength to endure trials by grace. We are glorified by grace. Our entire Christian life is under the reign of God's grace. And for us, being motivated by grace means that we realize that it isn't our spiritual disciplines and works that earns us God's favor and blessing in our lives. This all continues to flow from his riches in grace, sometimes whether we deserve it or not. There are many godly spiritual disciplines, you know, reading your Bible and prayer, that we all need to be involved in, which constitutes as spiritual works. You know, this spiritual discipline of going to church, daily devotions, you know, you memorize scripture, you witness to others, giving of tithes and offerings are all, these are all good and important Christian activities. The question is, do you do these things to earn God's favor? Or do you do these things in response to God's grace? What happens if I forget one of these things? What happens if I forget to pray before I eat my food? Oh, you ever did that? Oh, I forgot to pray. I do that to my wife. Did you pray? Yeah, I prayed in my mind. Okay. Just because I didn't hear it doesn't mean she didn't do it. Right? But if I forget to pray, does that mean I go through the whole day with God ignoring me and not taking care of me? A person who is secure in God's love and grace doesn't get blown out of shape when they fall or they fail or something goes wrong. Ever something goes wrong, like, I do things all the time, and then when it goes wrong, it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot to pray. Not quite exactly in that language, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Sometimes it just slips, you know. You know, if you're secure, you just get back up and go on. Like, if I do that and things go wrong, and then I remember I didn't pray, I stop and I pray, and then I don't, like, mope and cry and just say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, I forgot to pray. I pray, I confess, I give up my sin, and I go on, secure in God's love and his grace. You and I mean, God's grace is so important. It's not earned. It's given. It's God's unmerited favor given to us when we receive Jesus Christ. And because of the sin nature, which happened way back in the Garden of Eden, the human race were fallen human beings, separated by God. But God sent Jesus to bridge that gap so we could have the connection back to God. That's all his grace. And we needed that. Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. but the wicked stumble in time of calamity. If we are secure in God's grace, we may forget stuff. We may forget to pray. We may forget to tithe. We may forget to read your Bible. Remember the first time I ever forgot to read my Bible in the morning, I was like, oh no, God's going to smite me today. Really, I was like, and it was a day that I got up and I was sick. I was really sick. And I was just sick down. You ever been sick down and out, flat on your back? That's the kind of time when you don't want to rest and God tells you, I'm going to make you rest. You've been there, done that. Yeah. And I forgot to read my Bible and it came evening time. I'm like, oh, shoot. And, you know, I was a young Christian and I was like, oh, no, I failed. But some days now I do get up in the morning and I go, my mind is straight on doing tasks. And I go and I start going and halfway through the day, like, oh, shoot. I'm human. Or you maybe, just maybe was a senior moment. Maybe, okay. Just a slight possibility was a senior moment. God's grace was made possible with Jesus Christ willingly going to the cross to shed his blood, to die for us, for the forgiveness of sins, so that you and I could have a way back to a relationship with God. And that is what the resurrection, that is what Easter is all about. Because if Christ was still in the tomb, would just be another ceremonial funeral service, remembering that he died and he's still dead. But thank God he's not. He didn't stay dead. He beat that. Imagine going back to the tomb, John and Peter running, and poor thing, Peter must have been like me, a little bit slow, and John beat him there. Yeah. But then, Peter was the one who went in the tomb first. He went check it out. You know, he had to go and check things out, and it was empty. And then Mary just, they went back, and they told the rest of the disciples that he's not there. And poor Mary stayed there crying her eyes out, talking to the gardener, said, oh, do you know where they put him? Thought that was the gardener, but that was Jesus. Do you know where they put him? Tell me. And then he reveals himself to her, and it's like, wow. And then after all these things happen, the disciples, they finally, the light goes on. It's like, this is what he was trying to tell us these past 3 years. How do you like to take 3 years to kind of catch on to something? Wow. Well, it took me 37 years to catch on that life without Christ and the grace of God is no life at all. 37 years, man. 37 years of running around, doing things that's like, wow. I can say that was more than half my life because I'm not 74 yet. So when I come 75, oh, I won't celebrate if God allows me to be here that long. That I can see I've been smart for more than half my life. So those of you who are young and who are in church and half your life you've been serving God, man, I applaud you. Because 37 years to run around in darkness is no fun. To realize that you needed the grace of God to live is no fun. But we live by faith and the grace of God. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive God's grace right now. And it's a very important thing. Okay, So I don't want you to think, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm ready or I don't know if I'm worthy. None of us are worthy, but it's just given to us as a gift. So I'm going to give you the chance to receive Jesus Christ to receive God's grace. And you know, it's important. And if you only come to church Easter, I say at least you come to church. And I don't care what your friends say about you or make fun of you, like, yeah, you only go once or twice a year. Too bad, but at least you're here. And I applaud you for making that choice to come here. And by coming here, I'm going to give you that opportunity to receive God's grace. And it's a free gift. You don't have to sign your house over to New Hope East Hawaii or give me your car. I'm not going to even ask for your fishing pole or your tools. All right? It's a free gift that God is offering you today because he came out of the tomb alive. He wants you to have this gift and is asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. There's no shame. It's between you and God. But I will ask you to raise your hands so that we can pray for you. And we have a booklet for you afterwards. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, with respect for others, would you hold up a hand so that I may pray for you? Anybody out there, God bless you over there. Anybody else, God bless you back there. Bless you over there. Anybody else, God bless you over there. Anybody else that I cannot see? Let me move to this side. Anybody? God bless you over there. God bless you back there. You may put your hands down. Lord, hallelujah. Your word says that when one sinner repents, all heaven rejoices. And Lord, we know because of your grace and because of people confessing with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, right now all heaven is rejoicing. There is a big party in heaven for those of you who raised their hands today. They're applauding you. They're celebrating your choice this morning. And Lord, we are grateful that we could present your word to all those who are here, to those who said, I want God's grace in my life. Lord, shower them with your grace. Open up the windows of heaven and pour out an abundance of grace in their lives that they may say, like, why did I wait so long? But that's okay, because now they got the rest of their lives to live in your grace. So we ask that you would bless them. You would bless them abundantly. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what it is. For those of you who said yes to Jesus, there is a yes booklet on our greeting table. Please take one of those. And if anyone needs one, it's just a booklet that helps you understand what it is to walk with Jesus. It'll help you grow in faith and grow in grace and receive fully God's grace. Amen. Ready? Oh, what a great Sunday. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everyone. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so, so much. Would you all stand and join us? We're going to sing. And sing like you really love Jesus. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.